హరే కృష్ణ. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 1 చాప్టర్ 2 చాప్టర్ ఎంటైటిల్డ్ డివినిటీ అండ్ డివైన్ సర్వీస్ టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 17 ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై డివైన్ గ్రేస్ శ్రీల ఏసి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. శ్రీకృష్ణ the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, super soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Purport: messages of the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna are non-different from him. Whenever, therefore, offenseless hearing and glorification of God are undertaken, it is to be understood that Lord Krishna is present there in the form of transcendental sound, which is as powerful as the Lord personally. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his Shikshashtakam, declares clearly that the holy name of the Lord has all the potencies of the Lord and that he has endowed his innumerable names with the same potency. There is no rigid fixture of time, and anyone can chant the holy name with attention and reverence at his convenience. The Lord is so kind to us that he can be present before us personally in the form of transcendental sound. But unfortunately, we have no taste for hearing and glorifying the Lord's name and activities. We have already discussed developing a taste for hearing and chanting the holy sound. It is done through the medium of service to the pure devotee of the Lord. The Lord is reciprocally respondent to his devotees. When he sees that a devotee is completely sincere in getting admittance to the transcendental service of the Lord and has thus become eager to hear about him, the Lord acts from within the devotee in such a way that the devotee may easily go back to him. The Lord is more anxious to take us back into his kingdom than we can desire. Most of us do not desire at all to go back to Godhead. Only very few men want to go back to Godhead. But anyone who desires to go back to Godhead, Sri Krishna helps in all respects. One cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless one is perfectly cleared of all sins. The material sins are products of our desires to lord it over material nature. It is very difficult to get rid of such desires. Women and wealth are very difficult problems for the devotee making progress on the path back to Godhead. Many stalwarts in the devotional line fell victim to these allurements and thus retreated from the path of liberation. But when one is helped by the Lord himself, the whole process becomes as easy as anything by the divine grace of the Lord. To become restless in the contact of women and wealth is not an astonishment, because every living being is associated with such things from remote time, practically immemorial, and it takes time to recover from this foreign nature. But if one is engaged in hearing the glories of the Lord, gradually, he realizes his real position. By the grace of God, such a devotee gets sufficient strength to defend himself from the state of disturbances, and gradually, all disturbing elements are eliminated from his mind. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. మూకం కరోతి వాచాలాం పంగుం లాంగయతే గిరిం యత్కృపా తమహం వందే శ్రీగురు దీనతారిణం పరమానందమాధవం శ్రీచైతన్యం ఈశ్వరం. నమా ఓం విష్ణు పదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేష్ఠాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిన్ ఇతి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే వాంఛాకల్పత రూపేశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ్ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. I seek the permission and blessings of all assembled Vaishnavas as we discuss on this very important verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, super soul in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So right in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear about the glories of hearing. And the Krishna consciousness process is centered on hearing and chanting with an attitude of service. The hearing and chanting process centered on service attitude is what helps us come closer to Krishna. And as very beautifully Srila Prabhupada has written in this purport, that Krishna is more eager that we come back to him than we are eager to go back. So what does Krishna do? What does the Supreme Lord do? Because of his eagerness to get us back to him. He himself comes to this world and performs very sweet pastimes to attract our hearts. And through these pastimes, he infuses in the conditioned soul's heart a strong desire to rejoin the Supreme Lord. And these pastimes are very sweet. And they contain rasa. They contain different mellows. They churn the heart of a sincere hearer or a reader of scriptures. They churn the heart with emotions. And truly speaking, although, you know, we all have our needs, physical, mental, emotional needs are there. We are not dismissing them. We are not undermining the importance. But truly speaking, the vacuum in the heart can be filled only when we are connected emotionally through our hearts, through our mind, through our soul to Krishna. And we develop an attraction to hear his pastimes. The hole in the heart can be filled by the complete whole, Krishna. In fact, this hearing has been encouraged by none other than the Supreme Lord himself. When Ramayana was first spoken by Lava and Kusha, they were trained by Valmiki. When Ramayana was first spoken, and Lava and Kusha were chanting Ramayana everywhere, and they became very popular. Ramayana was very attractive. And the news reached Ayodhya, and Lord Ram heard that there are these two young transcendental boys, Lava and Kusha. They are speaking Ramayana everywhere, very beautifully. So then Lord Ram arranged the recitation of Ramayana in his own palace. And everyone was sitting and hearing. And Lava and Kusha performed. They just sang Ramayana with so much devotion. And Lord Ram was sitting on the throne. He got so captivated hearing. Because for him, you may say, how can Lord hear his own story? But the Acharyas give purport that Ramayana also means Ramayana. For Ram, Sita staying in Valmiki's ashram, he was feeling intense separation. And for him, the whole glory of Ramayana was because of glory of his consort Sita Devi, Rama. So for him, Ramayana meant the actual glories of Sita Devi. So that is why he considered and he accepted it as Ramayana. Ramayana means Ram's journey. Rama means Mother Sita, so Sita's journey. So he took it as Ramayana. And he was eager to hear the glories of his beloved from whom he was feeling transcendental separation. So he was sitting, and as he was hearing Mother Sita's glories, he felt a little uncomfortable sitting on the throne and hearing the class being given by Lava and Kusha down. So quietly he came down off the throne, but everyone else was so absorbed in hearing that nobody noticed Lord Ram coming down of the throne and sitting with the crowd. So he was one of the persons in the crowd, nobody realized. Quietly came and sat next to one of the common men, and he was sitting. And Lava and Kusha were speaking Ramayana. And you know Ramayana, those who know Ramayana, you know it contains such nice churning of emotions. There is happiness, there is intense separation, then again there is joy. There is so much of emotions. There is elation. So people were excited, absorbed. And suddenly, there was crying, a lot of intense emotions. So Lord Rama was also crying, people were crying. And suddenly some very funny thing happened in the Katha. And Lord Ram, being so excited and happy hearing this, about his own pastimes were going on. And he got so excited, just like sometimes we joke and we clap hands. So Lord Ram, with his hand, he patted the back of a person who was sitting next to him very loudly. Ah, oh, it was a joke or something. So then everyone was laughing. This man didn't realize that it is Lord Ram. And he also continued hearing. He was also enjoying. And then again something else came up. And this man got so excited, he patted on the back of Lord Ram. So like this katha was going on for hours and hours and hours. Finally, when the whole pastime was over, everyone was so nourished by the katha. And then they looked up to see Lord Ram is not in the throne. Where is Lord Ram? And then they realized he is right next to them. He is there in the audience. And everyone was stunned. And Lord Ram was also sitting absorbed in hearing the pastimes. So the acharyas in Kamba Ramayana, the Kamba Ramayana explains how even Lord is attracted to hearing and chanting. So if we submissively hear, the Lord will purify our hearts and we will develop an attraction. Because Krishna, Ram, the Supreme Lord, when he performs pastimes, he gives us an experience of rasa. It is important for us to understand what is rasa. Rasa means juice, technically, literally. Like for example, if we keep a mango here. Now, we get attracted to a mango. Mango is the king of all fruits, as they say. But we are attracted to a mango not because of its color or because of the shape it has or because of the fragrance it has. We are attracted because there is a juice, there is a rasa. And that pulls us towards that mango. Isn't it? Like we are drawn like a magnet because we want the rasa. Similarly, every relationship in this world, every activity we perform has that juice, just like mango has juice. These activities and relationships have rasa, they have juice, and we are drawn to perform that activity or to enter into that relationship. That's called rasa. So we are all looking for rasa, we are all looking for juice in life. But unfortunately, we are engaging in material activities. And material activities, by their nature, material relationships, by their inherent nature, that rasa, that juice, is very painful. It is not palatable. It may appear sweet in the beginning. Etat agre amritam iva pariname vishopapam. But it's actually very painful. Like, you know, for example, this chewing gum, I don't know how it is in England, but in India this bubble gum or chewing gum is very popular with children. So they take this, and as soon as they put it in the mouth, it has juice. It is bubble gum, chewing gum. So they find a lot of rasa. It's very juicy. It's fun. The chewing gum gives a lot of rasa. But as they keep chewing it, slowly what happens? The rasa goes away. And then it's boring to keep chewing it. There is no fun. But the child who here is representing all of us, and the chewing gum is representing the relationships or activities that we are entering into. So what does the child do? The child gets bored. Similarly, we get bored by that activity. But we can't give up that activity because we are desperate for what? Rasa, juice in life. So the child is desperate for that rasa in that chewing gum. So he keeps chewing and he gets bored. Then after some time it simply becomes an exercise for the jaws. There is no rasa. Then finally, he thinks, I may get some juice or some fun by making a bubble out of that bubble gum. So then I've seen children make, you know, they do something with their lips. I don't know how they do it. And then that chewing gum becomes big. And it becomes a little bigger, becomes a big bubble, then a bigger bubble, and it becomes so big. It looks fascinating. And these children are showing their bubble. Big bubble. And suddenly it bursts. And it sticks on the face. And then they remove it. So this is what happens to us. We chew. We don't get rasa in the relationship, in the activities that we perform. Then finally we make a bubble. We create so many illusory plans, desires, aspirations, which are all like a bubble. And finally all that, it sticks in our consciousness and we struggle to take it out. We are miserable because there is no rasa, truly speaking. It is very illusory. But Krishna, Lord Ram, the Supreme Lord, Rupa Goswami defines Krishna as Akila Rasamrita Murti. Akila means everything. Rasamrita means nectar of rasa. Krishna is nectar of juice. He is full of rasa. Murti is personification of mellows, rasa. So when we get connected to Krishna, we experience rasa that doesn't end. That rasa is complete opposite of a chewing gum or a bubble gum, which fades away after some time. But when we chant Krishna's holy names attentively, when we hear Krishna's pastimes, that rasa keeps increasing over a period of time. And that's why you see that in ISKCON, and even there are many other sadhus in holy places, for 50, 60 years of their life, 70 years of their life, they are chanting the same holy names, not getting bored. This is the proof that Krishna rasa doesn't end, unlike a bubble gum. Otherwise, how will you explain somebody chanting Hare Krishna for decades and decades and decades? If you go to Vrindavan even today, you will see amazing sights. There will be some old, remote, dilapidated structure, a small makeshift temple. Some Radha Krishna deities are there. And an old couple would be sitting there and chanting intensely bhajans. And nobody is there to appreciate them, glorify them. And many times they are singing in discordant notes. It's also not very, it's not that they are great singers. And they are absorbed chanting. And they are doing it for decades. Why? Because Krishna is Akila Rasamrita Murti. Can you imagine singing some famous Bollywood song or Hollywood song or some great song, same song every day? Even if you like it, you may sing it once, twice, thrice. Or the movie, some movie that you really like, you may watch it once a day for maybe 1 month. Then what? A newspaper, people are attracted to newspapers in India. Oh, they keep reading. But when you are given a newspaper of last week, oh, you're not interested. We want something new. We want something fresh. And Krishna provides that freshness. Krishna provides that rasa, that nectar. Can you imagine some movie that you are watching every day? No, after some time you will get bored. But you see Krishna stories. We are hearing same Lord Ram stories, this Ram Navami. We are hearing same Krishna stories every Janmashtami. It's not that this time, like, you know, if you see in the outside world, because there is no rasa, that chewing gum rasa fades away. So what I've seen they do in India, because, you know, now I've not heard Bollywood songs for decades now. So but when I'm going on the road, you know, they play on the roadside some songs. Sometimes they play the old songs which I had heard when I was in college. So I hear that and I feel, oh, this is the same song, but it's different. What they have done is, they have done what is called as, I did some research, I found it is called remixing. For the same old song they take and some new singer sings it, or there is some mixing of some instruments. So it's called remixing. So they have to try different things to keep that rasa on. And the movies also, they have to keep changing the plot. Something has to, it can't be the same movie. But for us, it is the same Lord Ram's pastime that we were discussing with Ramayana. It is same Ram, same Ravan, and the same way Ram kills Ravan every year for the last thousands and thousands of years. It's not that we are so bored this year, so this year we will have Ravan defeat Ram for a change, or Ram come on a helicopter and kill Ravan.
We don't have to do anything new. We don't have to add anything new to these pastimes.
By simply rendering submissive oral reception, these words, this sound has the potency to purify the heart of all the anarthas, the unwanted things. And this is established right in the beginning of Ramayana by this pastime where Lord Ram is so excited to hear about his own pastimes. The Ramayana begins with Valmiki Muni in his ashram. And he is absorbed with a question in his mind which is bothering him. Actually, he knows the answer to this question, but he wants to get an approval from some senior authority, his spiritual master. And the question that is there in his heart is, who is the perfect human being? Who is the perfect person in this world? Who is always truthful? Who has a firm resolve? Who is a person who has conquered the three modes of nature? Who is above fault finding? Who is extremely friendly, but also very fearful. Even gods would fear him. Sorry, he is not fearful. He creates fear even in gods when he is angry. So is there some person like this who is most perfect? And this is the question. And at that time, Narad Muni comes there and reveals to him that this perfect person is Ram. And he tells him that you already know Ram. You glorify Lord Ram. So our search for perfection, why we are not finding taste in relationships and activities of this world? Because it has no rasa. But when we hear about Lord Ram, when we chant Krishna's holy names, we actually are connecting to the perfect person, the complete person. One other reason why we feel incomplete is because we are looking for perfection in relationships of this world, which will never happen. Many times we suffer because we are expecting ourselves to be perfect. Oh, I have to be perfect, perfect, perfect. We are unable to accept ourselves the way we are. We are unable to accept others. We want others to be perfect. I want myself to be perfect. So we are miserable. That's why Valmiki Muni right in the beginning establishes the Supreme Lord is perfect. Like one of our boys in Mumbai, his marriage was just not happening because the marriage board, whichever alliances the proposals they would come up with, he would look at and he would discuss and he would say, oh no, she is not beautiful, she is not this, she is not that. He was rejecting all proposals. So they got fried out with him. That he's not even... He's not considered. He's looking for some Mr. Miss Perfect. So they gave up on him. They didn't show him any more proposals. But he was harassing them. He was calling them every week. Any other latest? So finally, our marriage board devotee got so fried out. So the next time when this boy called, this Prabhuji said, the girl you're looking for, we don't have in our congregation, but we have sent an application to Lord Brahma to create. Once he has created, we'll get back to you. So this was the plight. Perfect. I want a perfect person. Perfect, perfect. So this may be there in our heart, this desire. But only one person can satisfy us. Krishna, Lord Ram. And Valmiki knew this. And therefore, what Narad Muni does in the beginning of Ramayana, first 100 verses, they give the essence of the Ramayana. The complete Ramayana is spoken in the first 100 verses. Very beautifully the summary is given. And he explains how Ram is the most radiant, most resolute. He is the most powerful person. He is wise like Brihaspati. He is very intelligent. He is truthful. And then Valmiki Muni is happy, satisfied that he is now going to glorify Lord Ram. So this is it. We want to be satisfied. We want to feel nourished. We have to glorify whom? Ram. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada writes in the first canto, Bhagavatam purport, very beautiful, how glorification of Krishna, glorification of the Lord can purify the heart. So there is a verse which Narad Muni is speaking to Vyasadev, where he says, Narad Muni says, Nayad vachas chitra padam harer yasho jagat pavitram pragrinita karihi chet tadvayasam tirtamushanti manasa nayatra hamsa niramantu shikshaya. So Narad Muni is saying, my dear Vyasadev, you have written so many scriptures, but still you are not feeling completely satisfied in heart because you have not glorified the activities of the Supreme Lord in great detail. Glorify Krishna. And there he says, Jagat Pavitram, Krishna's glorification will make the world auspicious. And the other literatures which we have in this world, which give us rasa of the chewing gum, Tadvayasam Tirtam, Ushanti Manasa. He says, it is like a holy place of pilgrimage. You may be surprised. Narad Muni is saying all literatures are a holy place of pilgrimage. Yes, Narad Muni says, it is a holy place of pilgrimage for crows. Vayasam. Vayasam means crow. Nayatra hamsa niramantu shikshaya. Then he says, swan-like devotees don't go to that place. Srila Prabhupada in the purport elaborates the difference between swan and crows. Crows go to place where there is garbage. Swans go to place where there is, it's a beautiful lake filled with lotuses. So, Srila Prabhupada writes, swan-like devotees don't go to the place where crows assemble for conferences and meetings. He writes a purport there. So, we all have a crow inside. No? So, we want to convert that crow into a swan. Tall order. 90% crow maybe. We like garbage. That's why, you know, sometimes when Krishna Katha begins, we fall sleepy. But if somebody glorifies us, will we fall asleep? If I'm sitting and somebody says, two people are talking, hey, Braj Bihari, I'll immediately be, what? Somebody's talking about me? But as soon as you talk about Krishna, we fall sleepy. And we like, even other talk, sometimes we say, Prabhu, I was very tired last night. That's why I'm feeling sleepy while chanting. No, that may be true, we are tired. But we feel sleepy because we have, let us be honest, we have a fetish craze for garbage-like topics. And if those topics come, our sleeps go away. Like for example, if I'm chanting and I'm feeling sleepy because I had a late night, and suddenly somebody comes with a tasty, succulent cake, then when I'm eating, I have hardly felt sleepy. If especially there is a good feast. When I'm eating, I don't fall sleepy. Or when I'm chanting and I'm feeling sleepy, somebody comes with the latest gossip. Then I don't feel sleepy. That means we have tasted too much of material rasa. We need Krishna Katha now to purify our hearts. Like there was a man who, Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj told this story, that there was a man who went to a perfume market. Everywhere there were fragrances. And as he was walking, he suddenly fell unconscious. And everyone was trying to revive him, and they were trying to put all the best fragrances, they were trying to push it under his nostrils. But whatever they did, he didn't come back to consciousness. So they got frustrated. What's wrong? And then one man came, another man. He said, I am his friend. I know what is his problem. He works in the fish market, and he also collects a lot of garbage there. So he's used to the smell of the garbage. For him, this perfume market is, he's fallen unconscious because it is foreign for him. So I know what to do. So this friend went somewhere, got some garbage, something very foul smelling, and put it under his nose, and then he came back. He came back to consciousness. That's what happens to us. We find it a struggle because we are not attracted to Krishna. And as Rupa Goswami says, a jaundiced person, as he takes sugar cane, he slowly, it's a sugar cane juice, slowly the bitterness, he experiences initially bitterness, but then he experiences sweetness. Similarly, as we hear about Krishna, as we hear about Lord Ram, we will feel purified and we will get attracted to the Lord. And that's why Narad Muni, as he is concluding this section, he says, Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yasmin pratishlokam abudhya yatyapi namanantasya yashon kitaniyat shrinvanti gayanti grananti sadhava.
He says, my dear Vyasadeva, if you glorify the Supreme Lord, and even if it is imperfect, even if it is full of grammar mistakes,
jai Shishrada Gokulanand Bhagavan ki jai, Shishri Gaur Nithai ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai.
See, this is what very interesting Narad Muni is saying, that if you are glorifying the Supreme Lord, and even if it is imperfectly composed, now we are so much attached to speaking perfect, writing perfect, glorifying in a perfect way. Everything should be just perfect. And we have to do that for the pleasure of the Lord. That is our motivation. But the power of Krishna Katha is so nice that Viplavo, it will bring about a revolution in the misdirected civilization.
Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yasmin pratishlokam abuddhya yatyapi.
Even if it is imperfectly composed. Why?
Namanantasya yashon kitaniyat. Krishna's qualities, Krishna's pastimes are pure nectar. Shrinvanti gayanti grananti sadhava.
So if we chant, if we hear these pastimes, we will be completely purified. And Srila Prabhupada, in his humility, writes a very beautiful purport. He says, English is a foreign language for me. Now, this is a purport Srila Prabhupada wrote before he went to the West. Very interesting. First canto, purports, fifth chapter, Srila Prabhupada wrote before he went to the West. And he writes there that English is a foreign language for me. And I'm sure that what I'm writing now in this purports and commentaries would be filled with literary discrepancies. But I'm confident that this literature will bring about a revolution in the human society because this is a sincere attempt to glorify Krishna. This was like prophetic. That's what happened. Srila Prabhupada went to the West and we know what happened. Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavatam did create a revolution. So this is the power, and Srila Prabhupada says this is the power of Krishna Katha. That if you have a desire to glorify Krishna, and if we present Krishna, if we encourage people to love the Supreme Lord, then that attempt will bring about a revolution. That's why Srila Prabhupada established International Society for Krishna Consciousness, not God Consciousness. In fact, Srila Prabhupada's English, when he was preaching in New York, had a heavy Bengali accent. And many people wouldn't understand his English. There are difficulty. But the revolution nevertheless happened. In the initial day, Srila Prabhupada was giving lectures in New York on Lord Chaitanya meeting Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami meeting Lord Chaitanya. And the boys were sitting in the class. They couldn't understand who are these personalities. Because Prabhupada's English was, had a Bengali accent. So the boys were writing notes in the class. They wrote all different things. Prabhupada said, so Mahaprabhu meeting Sanatan. So Sanatan was written by Satsarup Maharaj in his diary as Santan. And Umapati Maharaj wrote as Santon. Everybody wrote different. And those lectures are still there. You can see in the Veda base, Lord Chaitanya and Sanatan Goswami's meeting. In fact, one lecture Srila Prabhupada is giving, Srila Prabhupada says, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to shave all of you. And those hippies had long hair. So they heard Prabhupada saying that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to shave all of us. So they looked at Prabhupada with amazement. And Prabhupada understood what they are thinking. And Prabhupada smiled. Yes, yes. He has come to shave and save both. He will do both. So he had that Bengali, and Prabhupada himself said, I have a Bengali body. Once he said that. But what was he doing? He was glorifying Krishna. Purely. Once when Srila Prabhupada was in London. Yes, here. And he was scheduled to go to US. And Bhagavan Prabhu came and told him, Srila Prabhupada, you should come to France, Paris, some Olympia theater. We have booked a big program. You should come there. Srila Prabhupada said, no, it will be difficult for me to come. And Bhagavan Prabhu kept insisting, no, Prabhupada, please come. You know, we have made all arrangements. Back and forth. So finally, Srila Prabhupada had to yield. He said, all right, what to do? Bhagavan is the supreme controller. We can't say no to Bhagavan. So then Srila Prabhupada went. And that class which he gave, they had made all arrangements and only 40 people came. So it was a big disappointment. But not for Srila Prabhupada. So these devotees came and apologized to Srila Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, you know, we are very sorry that you came all the way here and we couldn't arrange a big program. And that time Srila Prabhupada said, no. I will glorify to the sun. I will glorify Krishna to the sky. I will sing Krishna's glories to the stars, to the moon, to all the directions. I will tell the whole world. I will tell everywhere I go that Krishna is the most wonderful person. We all should love Krishna. Because ultimately I want a certificate from Krishna that here was a sincere soul who tried to glorify me. I don't want a certificate from a pack of donkeys. Srila Prabhupada just dismissed like that, jokingly. But that was his mood, to glorify Krishna. There is one lecture I was hearing, Srila Prabhupada is giving in Boston. And it is in a college. Now most of these students have no idea what is God, what is Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada beginning the class by saying, so I want to thank all of you young boys and girls for giving me an opportunity today to glorify Krishna. He begins the class like that. That means that is his mood. I am getting a chance to speak about Krishna, to give Krishna. If you see the initial lectures, you know, the initial audience that came for Srila Prabhupada's classes in New York were old women and men. And they had only curiosity value for Krishna consciousness. Like they didn't have an idea, they didn't want to really know the philosophy deeply. So in one class Srila Prabhupada is giving, and suddenly, and he's speaking about Krishna, he's saying, and Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjuna by Krishna. There is a pause. Do you know Krishna? Do all of you know Krishna? There is silence on the other end. You can feel it that none in the, see, in India at least, even if you're not from the Hindu faith, in India people know Krishna. And here he's talking to an audience, and you can feel it from the silence in the audience that they have no clue what is Krishna. Srila Prabhupada is saying, so Krishna you know? Krishna painting, you've seen Krishna? Krishna? Silence. And then you can see in the end, Srila Prabhupada, you know, his voice just, oh. You can feel that, not exactly disappointment, yeah, something like that, you know, oh, they have no idea about Krishna. And here he is coming to give them Krishna. And then, in one class, Srila Prabhupada says, I am not happy here. My heart is in Vrindavan. That is Radha, Madan Mohan. I want to go back to Vrindavan. And there's one old lady, I think, she's saying from the back, yeah, yeah, we know you're not happy. I want to go back. Then Srila Prabhupada says, but I will not go back. My Guru Maharaj has ordered me. So we'll speak about Krishna. So you can imagine, Srila Prabhupada was in a place where there was no Krishna consciousness. But because of his sincere desire to glorify, there was a revolution. And that's what happened. And that's why Valmiki Muni is being told by Narad Muni here that he glorified this most amazing personality. And then as Valmiki goes to the river to take bath, something amazing happens. He is now fully meditating on how I am going to glorify the Supreme Lord, Lord Ram. And as he is taking bath, what does he see? He sees two crouncher birds, which are like swans. He sees them sporting and mating and enjoying. And suddenly from nowhere, a hunter's arrow comes and pierces the male bird, the male crouncher. And the bird dies on the spot. And the female crouncher starts screaming in great agony, pain. And Valmiki Muni is not able to take this.
He feels very sad to see the pain of this cruncher bird. And he utters a curse. Manishat prateshthama tamagama shashvatir sama yat krauncha mituna deka mavado kama mohita. He says, oh, these cruncher birds are sporting so nicely, but you are hunter, blinded by passion, and you have shot and killed this. May you also suffer. And then as soon as he utters this curse, he immediately realizes what he has done. He says, I cursed. And cursing, what Valmiki had done was, he didn't realize he had uttered that curse in perfect Sanskrit poetry and meter, which is called as Anushtup Chanda. Perfect meter. So Valmiki himself was shocked. How did I say this? And how did what I said come out in such perfect meter? He was bewildered. He said, in this shoka, shoka means lamentation, in this shoka came out a beautiful shloka. How did it happen? He was surprised. And in great wonder, he came back to the ashram and was giving class to his students. But his mind was still going back to that lake, that curse. And suddenly in front of everyone, Lord Brahmaji appeared. And Brahmaji said, I arranged this to happen. You are empowered. You can perform, you can compose in perfect poetry, perfect Sanskrit. Now you compose Ramayana, the glories of Lord Ram. And after Brahmaji disappeared, Valmiki Muni closed his eyes and began chanting Ramayana just from the heart and inspiration. And Bharadwaj Rishi was sitting right in the front, wrote down the whole notes. And he closed his eyes and for days together kept chanting non-stop the whole Ramayana. And when the Ramayana was over, he opened his eyes. And that was how the Ramayana was written. And you can see the original mood, the beginning itself, Ramayana has this mood of Karuna, rasa of compassion. The rasa where there is tears and crying in separation. Like the cruncher birds cried in separation. You will see in Ramayana there is all, only thing that is going on is separation. Dasharatha Maharaj is feeling separation. Sumitra, Kaushalya, even Kaikeyi feels. Bharat is feeling, Lakshman, Ram is feeling from Sita. So the whole thing is on this separation rasa. This is completely parallel to what's there in our Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. Our philosophy is also to feel love for Krishna in separation. We don't say, oh, I have Krishna with me. Our mood is, where is Krishna? One Srila Prabhupada was giving class in America. And you know, in his classes, these young boys and girls would come. Many of them were hippies and they had no idea about basic human values, what to speak of loving Krishna in separation. That was a too high topic for them. And that's why you see Srila Prabhupada would only speak body, soul, body, soul. And suddenly in the middle of the class, one girl raised her hand. This is Govinda Dasi. She went on to become Srila Prabhupada's illustrious disciple. But at that time she raised her hand and she said, Swamiji, we have heard that there were 6 Goswamis in Vrindavan. And they were feeling love for Krishna in separation from him. Can you please tell us what is this? Srila Prabhupada was shocked. So the last thing he imagined, a question would come like this from this audience. And when Govinda Dasi asked this, Srila Prabhupada raised his eyes became big. He said, huh? Very good question. This is our goal. To love Krishna. And then Prabhupada entered a completely different space. And then he said, Era devraja devike chalalite e nanda shuno kuta Shri Govardhana kalpa pada patale kalindi vane kuta. Srila Prabhupada chanted this verse, which describes how the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan were running everywhere in Vrindavan. Where is Krishna? Where is Radharani? Are you at Govardhan? Are you at the banks of Yamuna? So they were looking for Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada entered that space and he kept speaking about how devotees are feeling separation from Krishna. And as he was speaking, suddenly, in the presence of all the devotees, he entered into a trance. And his body just, he was just quiet. It was trembling little and then he kept quiet. Eyes were closed. Complete silence. And the devotees there sitting, they had no idea what is happening. They knew Swami has entered into some deep trance, but they had no idea what it is. So they were confused. They were just sitting quietly looking at Srila Prabhupada as tears were coming down from his eyes. Complete silence. And then Brahmanand Prabhu, he was new. He was sitting right in the front. He didn't know what to do. So he picked up kartals. Hare Krishna! He started chanting. And when Mr. Lordly started chanting, Srila Prabhupada came back to external consciousness. And then he ended the class. And then later on devotees asked him, Srila Prabhupada, what was that? Srila Prabhupada dismissed it. He said, oh, nothing important. Because Srila Prabhupada knew, you know, if he says it was some great ecstasy, then we'll have a lot of people. We could easily imitate Srila Prabhupada. But this is our philosophy. Our mood is to approach Krishna in a mood of, we don't have Krishna, I want Krishna. Like, you know, like for example, just like if you say, if there is an announcement, there is a diamond in this hall. Whoever gets it, it's yours. So if that announcement is made and you start searching for the diamond, you would really be intensely searching because if you get it, it's yours. That is how generally people think, oh, we are looking for Krishna. Krishna is here. That's how devotees look for Krishna. But Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy is different. It's like a person who had a diamond with him and he lost it in this hall. You already had diamond and then you lost it. Then how would you search for it? Whose search for the diamond would be more intense? The one who has never seen a diamond but is told that there is a diamond here. But someone who had a diamond but who lost it. So Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy and mood is, I had Krishna but I lost him because of my own wrong acts. So where is Krishna? I want Krishna. So in this mood, you know, that separation is what is the beginning of Ramayana. Et krauncha mitunadeka, seeing the krauncha bird die, Valmiki's karuna, compassion has come out. And how this compassion, how this mood of separation from the Lord, that intense separation from the Lord manifests, that we'll discuss in the next Ramayana class, which is day after tomorrow, where we'll see how Dasharatha Maharaj feels intense separation from Lord Ram. And what leads to that separation? What actually happens because of which devotees feel separation from Ram? That we'll discuss some other time. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Ramayan Granth Raj ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi.